As I mentioned earlier, we're coming to the end of our looking at all of the armor of God, and we have seen all of these listed. You see, he's right from the battle with those arrows in his shield there. But one that wasn't mentioned was the radio. And there was a reason for that. They didn't have a radio back in those days. The Romans were woefully low on technology. It is interesting to me, however, that the apostle lists this right at the end of the armament. So I wanted to ask a question: is prayer part of the armor? There's no final definite answer to that. We can't say yes because he doesn't compare it to any part. There was nothing for him to compare it to. There was no piece of Roman armor that Paul could compare to prayer. But it is listed right after the offensive weapon of the sword. I thought it was interesting. John Gill, great old commentator, said the last weapon is prayer. Albert Barnes says it would be well for the soldier who goes forth to battle to pray for victory, to pray that he might be prepared for death should he fall. But soldiers do not often feel the necessity of this. To the Christian soldier, however, it is indispensable. He thought of it as a weapon, didn't he? John Trapp, even older, you can tell by his language, it fetcheth Christ, prayer, it fetcheth Christ into the battle. Brother Jeb the other day said, I like the word fetch. You know, it's one of those, I mourn the passing of fetch because we only use it for dogs, you know. Well, if you think about the economy of words, I can say, go over there, pick that thing up, bring it back to me, and give it to me. Or you could say, fetch, you know. What an economy of words. Well, here it is. It fetcheth Christ into the battle, and so is sure victory. It obtaineth fresh supplies of the Spirit. And he quotes from Philippians 1:19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation, my release through your prayer, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so maketh us more than conquerors, even triumphers. I think he made that word up. Triumphers. It driveth the devil out of the field, and maketh him flee from us. So here are some men that, in fact, considered this to be one of the pieces of armor, one of the weapons. And I believe that to be so as well. Modern times, the radio has become an essential part of the battlefield equipment. And this in a couple of ways, offensive and defensive. You know, send in the helicopter and get us out of here, defensive. And then send down a strike at such and such coordinates. That's offensive. So this is, I've entitled the message, The Believer's Connection to Authority. And that's what the radio does for the soldiers in the field. Let's look then at the use of prayer. And we're going right to our passage in Ephesians 6. The use of prayer in the first part of verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. This word praying always, H.E. Robertson, the Greek scholar, says this. It means at all seasons. And he gives the Greek word there, kairo. The Greek word kairo was the word for time that means seasons. And we've been talking about this relatively recently, that chronos was chronological time. I'm pointing to my watch under my coat there. Chronological time, the passing of time. Kairos was time as a season, picturing a season of opportunity. So harvest season was the opportunity to harvest. Football season, the opportunity to play football. Fishing season, so on. These are periods of time, large or small, that are characterized by certain opportunities. So he says here, praying at all seasons, buying up the seasons of opportunity by prayer. So he goes on to say the panoply of God is necessary, but so is prayer. Panoply is the entire armor of God. And then he quotes an old phrase, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. So a season is a period of time characterized by an opportunity. So we need to seize the opportunity to pray. So he doesn't just say pray always, but he does say pray fully with all prayer and supplication. So all prayer, it talks about all forms of prayer. You think about this, sometimes our prayer is just mental. We're in a situation where it wouldn't do to be talking out loud to God in the midst of everybody on the bus or whatever. But sometimes it's vocal. And he says, use all prayer. Sometimes it's public. We pray in public here at church. Sometimes it's private. It ought to be both. Then all branches of prayer. This is the concerns of prayer. Fighting evil. Petition for good things. Thanksgiving for God's mercies. Let's use all the branches of prayer. Now, praying always with all prayer and supplication stands opposed to perhaps three things. Those who do not pray, they're not praying always. Those who pray and quit, they're not praying with perseverance. And those who pray only in distress. I don't need to pray. Everything's okay. You're missing a lot of what prayer has to offer. So he says, pray always, pray fully. And then he says, pray spiritually. Praying always in the Spirit. Let me just say this. This means you are not reciting prayers. Don't think of it as saying your prayers. Think of it as praying. Our friend Mr. Craney was talking about the time he was at the hospital. Little baby was having problems. They were testing him. Militia was over in the room, and he was outside. And he found himself saying, come on, boy, you can, you know, be strong, be firm. And then he caught himself, and he's saying, what am I doing? A little silent cheerleader around the corner here. I ought to be praying. And he told us the story of how he quietly asked God to calm the child. And then the child just shut up. It was so sudden that he looked around to see if the baby was still there, if the door was still open. A little bit later, the baby cried again, and he prayed again. The baby quieted right down. So he brought that up to his wife and said, I don't know if you noticed. She said, yeah, we thought maybe he choked on something, you know. And he says, no, I was praying. Don't say your prayers. That's ritual. That's thinking you will be heard for your much speaking. Pray. The word pray means to ask. Go to him, have a conversation, and ask what you will. Isaiah 29:13, God criticizes Israel for their religiousness. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouths and with their lips do honor me, reciting, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. You see, let's not get to that place. Let us be the ones who worship in spirit and in truth. Let's say to God what's really upon our heart. So this is praying in the Spirit, not reciting prayers. And then it is effective communication to pray in the Spirit. I bring you to Romans 8, 26 and 27. Think through this with me. The apostle says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. The word infirm means not firm, not strong, a weakness. The Spirit helps our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There is a groaning inside that isn't translatable. I think of this almost as the language of God. Here's God in your heart, Holy Spirit, communicating to God in heaven in God language that we don't speak. Groanings that cannot be uttered. He lives within. He knows what you're asking for, what you're really asking for. And then he translates it to God for us. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit making intercession for you as you pray. And so praying in the Spirit is relying on this work of the Holy Spirit to translate your bumbling words, your awkward words, perhaps your selfish words, into a language that appeals to God. The Holy Spirit taking the best of your heart's desire and communicating it to the Father, because he's the one who knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Effective communication. Don't limit prayer. Then I think also we need to recognize that prayer, as a part of the armor, part of the weaponry, is strengthening help. In the little book of Jude, verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. I don't think it's possible for you to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Word of God by reading the Bible alone. It's just, that's the sword of the Spirit, you see. But we need the heart energizing that comes with prayer. Lord, open my heart to this. Get self out of the way. I wonder how many times the Bible has told us something and we said, yeah, but that wouldn't be fun for me. That wouldn't be helpful to me. That wouldn't put me ahead of others. Prayer should have prayed self out of the way and opened our mind to things that we don't normally think about. Strengthening. Jesus taught true worship. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, not having the true faith, John 4:23-24. He says to her, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers," we want to be true worshipers, right? Not false worshipers. Just going through the actions. "True worshipers shall worship the Father," notice, "in spirit and in truth." Spirit means not according to the place or the position or whatever, not a physical thing, in spirit. And then, not according to our traditions, not according to our ancient rituals, but according to truth. "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God's interested in this. God is a spirit. He doesn't have a physical body like we do. So he's saying, do you think he's all that impressed about which city you do your praying, whether you're on your knees, or whether you're, you know, behind the wheel of your car, or whether you're laying on your face, as very often they used to do? He says it's not the position of your body, it's the position of your heart that he's concerned with. God is a spirit. "They that worship him," here's that word, "must worship him in spirit and truth." Don't dismiss the word "must." It means that if you are not worshiping in spirit and not worshiping in truth, you're not worshiping him. You are doing something else, but not worship, not true worship. He goes on then to talk about the dedication of prayer. He says, "Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication." The word "watching" is an interesting word. 1 Peter 4:7, But the end of all things is at hand. He says, we're at the end times. Be ye therefore sober, not silly, and watch unto prayer. We're not familiar with watchmen pacing the top of the walls around our guarded city. I don't know, maybe you live in a gated community and you have watchmen there at the guardhouse. I don't know, but it was a familiar sight back in those days. And they understood that watching is being on guard. Maybe a mental translation you could make is, when he says watch in prayer, he says be on guard in your prayer. John Trapp explains it, that we be not surprised at unawares. Be on guard, you see. Adam Clark says, being always on your guard, lest your enemy should surprise you. Watch not only against evil, but also for opportunities to do good and for opportunities to receive good. Without watchfulness, prayer and all the spiritual armor will be ineffectual. Jamieson Fawcett Brown commentary says, Paul uses the very words of Jesus in Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that for the purpose that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man. Pray always and watch. Why? Because you're on guard and you can escape these problems. So watching is being on guard. Watching in prayer is being on guard for spiritual problems. Then secondly, watching is just not sleeping. I've had that problem when I was tired and go to prayer. Then I'd wake up, feel ashamed. I came to the place where I would lay in bed and my mind was going about a lot of things, and I would begin to pray, hoping that I would keep praying until I fell asleep, because it was one of the best ways to go to sleep. And since I was intending to do that, I didn't feel guilty about it. It also put all those things into my head just at the time that my mind went to sleep. Psalm 88:13. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee, to go before you. Wake up in the morning and pray. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What were the disciples doing? They were falling asleep. They were not being on guard and praying. In Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. That's a pretty dead sleep. And Christ shall give thee light. My friend, be on guard. The devil, like a roaring lion, is roaming about seeking to devour you. Christ said to Peter, the devil wants to take you and sift you like wheat. I've often thought about that. I have no idea what that means, but it can't be good. I back in the old days growing up, my mom had a sifter thing. You pour the flour in the top, and I got the job of squeezing that handle, and then the sifted flour would come out. Now, if that's Peter, this is doing him no good, you know. This is grinding him into little pieces, I guess. The devil says to you, come with me and we'll have fun. Like, what's his name with Pinocchio, you know? But the purpose is to destroy you, to cast you down, to make everything that's important in your life lay in ruins. Be on guard. Watch in prayer. Keep watch. Look to the Word of God for direction. Watch for opportunities to pray. Look for assistance from the Holy Spirit in prayer. And watch for an answer to your prayer, to give thanks. These thank you cards are nice reminders that it meant something. And so written to the bestowers, makes us happy that we did this. Do that with God. Let him know it made a difference. Thank him for answered prayer. And so this first word is watching. Then he says, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Perseverance, all perseverance. This word comes from the root, I like to really like this, being steadfast toward something. This is when you see where you're going, and it may not be easy, but you are pressing toward that goal. Perseverance. Come to the prayer time, not in a lackadaisical pray la-di-da thing. See? Have a goal. Have a purpose in it. Our praying must not be hit and miss, on again, off again. Persevere in this thing. Stay steadfast. And then he says, all supplication. There have been conflicting teachings about what's the difference between praying and supplication, supplicating. Here's one idea. Jameson Fawcett Brown cites the old writer Grotius, who said, prayer for obtaining blessings, supplication for averting evils which we fear. Praying is to ask for something good. Supplication is to ask that we don't have the evil. But Adam Clark disagrees, and I leave him with you secondly because I agree with him. There is a difference between prayer and supplication. Some think the former means prayer for the attainment of good, the latter prayer for averting evil. Supplication, however, here's the truth of it, seems to mean prayer continued in, strong and incessant pleadings till the evil is averted or the good communicated. Supplication seems throughout the scripture to be intensive prayer. Not everything I pray about, I think, is supplication. But there have been times and seasons when something was so wrong that I had to supplicate. I couldn't just pray. My heart was engaged. My concern was there. This was important stuff, life-changing stuff. That's supplication. And so recognize the scripture makes a difference. There's a pray, Lord, give us a good day. There's another, Lord, save me from my burning car that just went off the cliff. You know, this is a supplication, really intense. So, watching, perseverance, supplication. This is talking about some serious praying. Be on guard, stay true to it, and be intense when it's important stuff. Then again, the concern of prayer. The entire family of God. We have a big prayer list. Donna was talking about a prayer list. We've got a big prayer list. It's the entire family of God. Ephesians 6, 18, A and C, praying always for, this is the word peri, meaning about. Praying always about all saints. You know, I don't know all saints, so I can't pray specifically for them, obviously. But I know enough about them that I can pray about them. The Christian warrior's concern is for all his brethren, all his fellow soldiers. Whatever their color, whatever their language, whatever their nationality, he prays for them. And you say, well, what in the world could I pray for them? You know their needs because you know your own. What are you facing? That's what they're facing. Difficulties of every kind. Lord, help them through this day. Give them the ability to recognize the difference between good and evil and to walk with the good. You see, keep them from danger. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, We have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We're serving them in prayer, aren't we? We're praying for them. Galatians 2:6. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? That you love one another. That you love one another. And so he says, bear their burdens. You think of those that are being persecuted for Christ around the world. Feel a little bit of that. Hear the sound of the jail cell door clanging shut behind you, shutting you off from family and everything else, simply because you're a person who trusts Christ. Learn to pray for the entire family of God. But then he adds to this the full-time workers. Ephesians 6, 19 to 20, and for, this is a different word for, this is huper over, and the idea is to pray over them is to pray in their behalf. Pray in behalf of me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, and for, in behalf of, which I am an ambassador in bonds or in a chain, that therein or thereof I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Quickly then, what he's saying here is, pray for me. I tend to think, go down to the quote by Adam Clark here. Adam Clark says, Kuiper has proved by many examples that the phrase here used, word to be given, signifies permission and power to defend oneself in a court of justice. The apostle was in prison, and the time was coming up when he was going to stand and give a defense for him. And I think it's quite likely that he says, pray over on my behalf that when utterance is given, when the word is given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He's talking about standing my own defense. God will give me the words to say. Now, he goes on then to broaden that out to mean what almost everybody else says he means, and that is to talk about Christ. Because then he goes on to say, of the gospel of which I am an ambassador in bonds. So think just for a moment what an ambassador is. He's a person that belongs to a different country and honors another king, but he's in this country. And he represents his king, and he represents his country. And to know him is to be a link to that other country. You and I, the Bible tells us that our citizenship is in heaven. That's our primary citizenship. We happen to be here, like Israel in captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah tells those in captivity, work for the good of the country you're in. And that's what we do. We're concerned about this country. But it's not our country. Look around, you can see that. We pray for the leaders of this country. But our job is an ambassador, and we are representing our king to the people here. He says, that's what I am. I'm an ambassador in bonds. He told the Corinthian church that all of them were ambassadors by virtue of being a Christian. He says, I'm an ambassador in bonds. Literally, it's in a chain. Some of the commentators were thinking about that often an ambassador had an official chain and a medal about his neck. I think technically, this is an indication of how he was chained. There were some that were chained hand and foot, and movement was very restricted. And the Bible actually, in the book of Acts, talks about in chains. This was in a chain, indicating that he was attached in some way to a single chain, gave him liberty to move about the room and all that type of thing. I'm an ambassador in bonds. that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so as an ambassador for the gospel, even there in prison, pray for me. Pray for me that I speak as I ought to speak. It's kind of interesting to think of Paul saying, I might be saying things inappropriate. Pray for me that I might speak as I ought to speak, you know. Perhaps his own worst critic. What do you think? I find, Lawrence, that my message ends here. I think I have something else on the screen. Is that correct? All right. Let me take you to the last point that I ridiculously have left home. The twofold use of prayer. First of all, there is the prayer as a weapon of defense. And here's a story. And I'll turn my back on you because I can't read. Mrs. Ruth Stoll and her husband were missionaries to the Indians in the Amazon jungles of Peru. She heard of a native woman who was ill, and so she and another missionary lady went to help her and pray for her salvation. On the way back, their dugout boat was caught in a raging flood from the mountains. The boat hit a fallen tree. Ruth was thrown into the water. The current held her at the bottom of the river, and she was entangled in the vines of the fallen tree. As she despaired of life, suddenly her head was above the water. The boat had made it around the fallen log. She was pulled into the boat with no serious damage. Wow, what a coincidence. When she returned to their home, her husband met her. He told her that after she left, he was definitely impressed to pray, not for the sick woman, but for his wife. She wrote, I have often thought what the result might have been had he put it off until after the finishing of his task, or until the time of regular prayer. But he prayed, and I was saved. But that's not the end of the story. Some weeks later, Ruth received a letter from a woman telling of two women's prayer groups that met together for joint prayer. During the testimony time, 12 women told how they had been awakened during the night with the desire to pray for Mrs. Stoll. Ruth noticed the date of her life-threatening experience was the last day one of the 12 ladies had received the special call to pray for her. God sent out a message, and those sensitive to that leading felt the need to pray for this lady. Defense. Use prayer as a weapon of defense. But secondly, a prayer as a weapon of offense, offensive prayer. Sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? Here's the story. 1887, Jonathan Rosalind Goforth. What a great name for missionaries. Goforth. Jonathan Rosalind Goforth went to China as missionaries. They were appointed to open a new field in the northern sections of the province of Honan. When J. Hudson Taylor heard of this assignment, he wrote to them warning that the area was the most anti-foreign province in all China. He advised them, you must advance on your knees. They tried for 6 years to establish a work in the city of Changte, but were met with utmost hostility. The presbytery, the body of elders that had been formed to direct the work, decided to take Changte by faith and ask Jonathan to open the mission there. The next day, as he walked to the city, Goforth prayed that God would open the hearts of the people and give him property most suitable for the work. What happened? When he arrived and made known his purpose, he received 35 offers of property. Within 3 days, he was able to secure the very piece of property he had earlier identified as the most ideal. Mrs. Goforth said, thus the Lord did break in pieces the gates of brass which had kept us so long from our promised land. It's an impressive thing that when human effort could not break through, God just opened the doors. Let me encourage you in this, I think, one of the two weapons of prayer. As a sword can defend as well as be offensive, so can prayer. He says here, Paul the apostle says, I need prayer. pray for those who are the leaders. The devil cites them particularly. How grievous to hear of the preacher falling into sin, ruining the name of Christ in the church, causing people to say, well, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want any part of it. Pray for the leaders, but pray for one another. Let's hold each other up. You know, everybody to some degree is having a tough time. Something is going on. And come alongside them. Take their arm, put it over your shoulder. Walk with them. Let's pick up the weapon of prayer. Let's bow for prayer. Father, you give us an opportunity to look at, to understand that prayer is not just something we do in our off time. It's actually part of the battle equipment that connects us to you, our authority. Asking for help, asking for an offensive drive against the world, the flesh, and the devil. How we thank you that prayer through these many years has been shown tremendously effective because you are real and prayer is talking really to you. We ask that you might guide us this day then to finish up our preparation for the battle by exercising ourselves in prayer. With heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if you're saying, Pastor, I've tried to be the Christian I ought to be, but perhaps the one thing that I find most difficult is spending the time in prayer. You know, that's not an accident. That's the devil's work. That's the devil succeeding in keeping you from the thing that he is most nervous about, you praying. If that's your prayer, if that's your concern, I wonder if you just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I need to be a warrior of prayer. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Father, then, we come to you humbly acknowledging our frailty, acknowledging that bewilderingly we look about the things of this world and we think those things are so important we don't have time for prayer. Oh, but Father, we ought to take a scheduled time and then every opportunity that we have to spend time in communicating to you, connecting to our authority. We're in a battle. We need defensive help. We need offensive assistance. We ask that you might help us to use prayer wisely, fervently, to watch, be on guard with prayer, to be persevering in it, and to supplicate, to ask intensively concerning these things that are important. We thank you for each one that raised the hand, sensing your Holy Spirit urging us to greater activity in the battle through prayer. We ask that you might strengthen us, build us up, and anyone here that hasn't received Christ and is therefore not on praying ground with you, we ask that you would bring them to Christ, not by religion, but by personal receiving Christ, loving him, accepting what he's done for them to pay for their sins. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.